Well, beloved people, beloved listeners, what a privilege again to come to you today. And today is a blessed day. This is a very special day again that the Lord has accorded us to be able to have a teaching, a study that is going to help the church, whosoever will listen, to polish the church. You know, we live in such a time when it's going to be absolutely very critical that the Christian believer, the Christian, the Christ follower, the born-again person, this is now going to be a critical moment for you to be able to ensure that your salvation is well polished, that you are in right standing with the Lord, and you know all the things you ought to know. I want to look at the continuing conversation we've had last week when we talked about walking the narrow way. The Lord Jesus, he submitted a thesis, he submitted a doctrine, he deposited a doctrine to the church and a command, and that doctrine became the instruction to the church. And in that instruction, the Lord commanded the church world over to walk the narrow way. So most of last week, the few days at which we managed to have this conversation, we spoke about some very important aspects of walking the narrow way. And we asked the question, what does it mean that Christ Jesus the Messiah commanded the church to walk the narrow way? In other words, what does it take? What are the features of a church that is walking the narrow way? And I want to continue that conversation, beloved people, by looking at some very important scriptures here and giving it a greater look. What does it mean to walk the narrow way? So today I want to begin with the lead scripture. And our lead scripture, I'm reading from King James today on purpose. I have four versions here in the Comparative Study Bible, but today I purposefully read from King James. So our lead scripture, the book of Matthew chapter 7, again, verses 13 and 14. So Matthew chapter 7, in this dispensation, when the prophecy on the collision of the two neutron stars has taken place, in this dispensation, at this hour, when the tossing of the seas on the Lord sent me to command the ocean to come out in the Caribbean, and you saw what that did all the way through to the United States, then the prophecy on the United States of America, on Florida, on Houston, Texas. At this time, when a dead decomposing corpse, a dead body, now we know she is called Mama Rosa, gaining weight, the doctors are taking notes. At this time, when there is big healing, I followed yesterday. Up to now, we have more than 300 cases of serious conditions that were healed when I came live on radio. The Lord spoke to you healing through this place, right from here in Nairobi, by radio to your churches. Some of the conditions were absolutely terrible conditions the Lord removed people from, like the case of in Machakos, there was urine and stool incontinence, flowing stool and urine for many, many years, 10 years. Nairobi here, bleeding until she was cutting blankets. She could not use the normal pads. She was now cutting blankets to use baby blankets and so forth. And crippled, blind, legs that were cut off. The Lord just joined the bones. We are living in such a tremendous time. Weak necks, babies that could not support their necks, now the neck is strong. In this kind of visitation and in this kind of dispensation, how ought you to live your life as a Christian? And that's why today in our teaching, our lead scripture is the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And I'm reading deliberately from King James because there's something I want to bring out today. And in King James, he says this, He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And the straight here, straight is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, straight, like the Strait of Gibraltar, the Strait of Dover, and so forth. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, he goes on to say, because straight is the gate, and again, straight is S-T-R-A-I-T. I'm reading this version deliberately to bring a very important point to you in this dispensation of the latter glory, when we know that the Messiah is coming. Again, verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, that findeth it. So this is a very important scripture, beloved people. Again, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, in other words, to hell. And many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. In other words, eternal life, heaven. And few there be that findeth it. So it's amazing, beloved people, that Christ Jesus the Messiah, when he came and brought us the salvation of our God in heaven, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh, Jehovah Ori, when he brought us the salvation of God Almighty from heaven, and I hope most people now understand the way the covenant of this grace we received stands within the bigger picture of heaven. Let me just recap it here. We know very well that there is a covenant of eternity between God the Father and God the Son. You can see from the book of John chapter 1, the narrative there. In the beginning was the Word. And then he goes on and on and he says the Word was with God. So he speaks about the eternal relationship. So there is a covenant of eternity between God the Father and God the Son. I hope all people know this. That's why I don't want to take chances. I just want to run through it now. The covenant between God the Father and Christ the Messiah is a covenant of eternity. It's an eternal covenant. And when God the Father saw the fall in man down here on the earth, and he sent Christ Jesus to come and die on the cross to deliver unto the church the covenant of the grace. Now look at this now. God the Father is the Redeemer. Make sure you understand this, beloved, very well. God the Father is the Redeemer. And he sent Christ the Messiah to die on the cross to bring forth the carrier. He is the messenger of the covenant of the grace. So when Christ the Messiah brings the covenant of grace, that is between him and mankind. John chapter 3:16, we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, should not perish, but see eternity, see eternal life. So that is the covenant he brought. And then now he grafted the covenant between himself, Christ the Messiah, and the church. And so that those that have a covenant with Christ, by extension now, Christ's relationship with the Father, Christ's link, the link between Jesus and God the Father, that covenant of eternity is now extended to the church. So the church, therefore, now, through the extension, through the covenant of grace is able to enjoy eternity. That is the structure, that is the blueprint, that is the paradigm of the redemption of fallen men. That is pretty obvious today to all people, beloved people. And so, when Christ Messiah, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that died for the church, the one whose church, his church, the church of Christ, whose church is on the earth here, when he brought that covenant of grace, then he deposited for this thesis here. This is the thesis he presented. He made an application before them, and this is what he made when he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14 he says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So you have to even find it. So what did the Lord mean when he spoke to his church? He died for the church, resurrected for the church. What did he mean when he instructed the church? He gave this command that enter ye in at the straight gate. In other words, enter through the narrow gate. And then he talks about the narrow way. And so, I want you to understand, beloved people, that this becomes one of the most important teachings that the Lord Jesus ever gave to mankind. Again, this becomes the principal teaching, the cardinal teaching that the Messiah ever gave to the church. And you can see very clearly that in this teaching, he is actually directing himself to the church. He's actually addressing the church. And I want to move a little faster because I have so much for you within these 1.5 hours to go. And so, it became so important. Why is this the most important doctrine he laid before the church? It is so important because this became the yardstick. This presentation here, this decree, this command, this instruction the Messiah gave, literally became the yardstick. It became the principal yardstick that separates the entire human race into two groups, that separates the entire universe. You are aware that the entire universe is under the jurisdiction of the Messiah and of their Father. You remember recently when the 10-year-old prophecy, when he sent me to shake the entire universe and all the trillions of galaxies. So the entire universe is being addressed here, beloved people, and the church that we have on the earth. So this teaching became so critical in the life of the Christian. Why? Because this is the teaching that lays out the yardstick, defines the yardstick for entry into heaven. In other words, he gets from this teaching a yardstick for separating the entire human race into two groups. Those who will go into the kingdom of God, into heaven, and those who will go to hell. This is how important this teaching stands within the paradigm of Scripture and the prophetic timeline of the Bible. That this teaching at this hour, especially before the Messiah comes, becomes so critical in the life of the believer that they may be in the know, that they may know some of the yardsticks that heaven will use, that the Lord will use on that day when he comes. This teaching, the thesis he deposited in Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 14, is so critical because even the dead will be weighed on this yardstick. Even those dead, those who have slept, the Bible calls them asleep, this is the yardstick that will be used to measure them to see where at they spend their eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. And that's just how critical this teaching is. It also applies to the dead and applies to the living. It is an enormous teaching, beloved people. It's a tremendous teaching. And so, we see that the Lord Jesus commands the church. He goes ahead then and commands his church to submit to this thesis, to this teaching here. To submit, to fully submit to this. And as he does so, therefore you see that the entire narrative is directed to the church, directed to those that are born again, those that are Christian, Christ followers. And as I've read, when you read again, one more time, Matthew chapter 7, 13, Jesus the Lord instructs his followers by saying, enter ye at the straight gate. So, I said, I'm reading King James today deliberately because there is something I want to pull out that will help you. And what a wonderful privilege and opportunity to do this global Bible teaching, because I know I can see nations tuned in from across the globe, even places that were still in the dark, across the globe. We don't know how many millions are tuned in from Finland all the way to Australia, New Zealand, from South Korea all the way to Canada, United States, down to Latin America, Brazil, and name it. This is such a wonderful moment, beloved people, when the Lord can allow me to speak to the church on some very key elements, key items that will really, really matter on the final day. And that's why I'm saying, when the Lord now directed himself and addressed himself to the church, exclusively to the church, he entirely focused on the church. And then he gave his first deposition, in Matthew chapter 7, 13, he said, and then he said, enter ye at the straight gate. Straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. What is the meaning of straight? So let's open up a few things that then we may be able to comprehend, to well understand the instruction that the Lord is laying on the church. The instruction he is directing towards the church, that when you obey, you know what to obey, beloved people. But when you receive the Lord, you know what you are getting into, for those who are not born again that may be tuned in. Straight means the following. In a simple way, straight means conventional. The first meaning of straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, is conventional. The second meaning of straight is law-abiding. Law-abiding. Law-abiding, beloved. And the third meaning of straight, I endeavor to pull it out for you on King James. Why King James brings it as straight? The third meaning of straight is that narrow. Straight means narrow. Straight also means route, route, if you will, a channel or a passage. And when you use straight to describe a route, a route, a channel, and a passage, then he says the following. He says, it is a passage that is so narrow that it makes it difficult for you to pass. You know, many times you have the Strait of Gibraltar, the Strait of what, the Strait of Dover. There are these straits in the seas. We see the straits in the sea. And it's amazing because then you see that when the ship are coming, and let's say they are to pass through the Strait X, Strait of what? Strait of who? Then you see now the ship don't have that much bearing, that much maneuvering or flexibility or space to do as they will. So as they pass through the strait, they have now to obey the narrowness of the strait, the rules governing the passage, so that they may pass through the strait. So he says it may be also employed in describing a route, a route, for those who are on the other side, a route, a channel, a passage, that a passage that is so narrow that it makes it difficult to pass through. So again now, you see the Lord Jesus uses the word straight. Enter ye, he says very clearly, enter ye in at the straight gate. And he's very much aware that this is what straight defines. So in other words, you see right away, he is already projecting forth in his thesis to the church, he's pulling forth, he's highlighting forth the fact that there will be some difficulties in passing through this narrow space. For example, you see the Strait of Dover, the Strait of Gibraltar. You know these things, beloved people. But when the Lord employed the word strait in addressing the church that is headed to heaven, regarding the way to heaven, it's amazing because the main definition, really of a strait is a passage that connects one part to another. How awesome then. So the Lord was essentially saying that I am the messenger of heaven. I have come with the covenant of heaven. I have come with the message of God the Father in heaven. I've come with the deliverance of God the Father in heaven. He has sent me here, and my purpose is simple. Mine is simple and straight, simple and clear, to deliver you, the church, my followers, into heaven. And then in that process of delivering the church, and then now he gives counsel. He gives counsel to the church. Then he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And then you see that the meaning of straight is that it is a channel or a passage that connects one part to another. How powerful. In other words, he's saying, enter ye in at the straight gate, meaning enter ye through this channel here, which actually connects people, which has the capacity, which is the connection, which is the portal, which is the route that connects, the connection, the channel between the earth and the heaven, beloved people. Then you see the deliberate use. Why in King James he uses the word straight? Why the Lord used the word straight? Because King James actually tries as much as possible to bring it from the original sayings of the Lord as closest. So we see now that when the Lord Jesus employed the word straight in his thesis regarding the route to heaven, he also knew that it implies a channel or a passage that connects one part to another. In other words, connecting his church. He was directing his church to eternal life. He was connecting his people, those his elect, those who follow him, those who have received him, those who are born again. I'm talking about a Christian. He was telling them on the route, the road that has a connection between the earth and heaven, beloved people. So this is very powerful. This is a very powerful situation that the Lord has presented in his thesis to the church, in this doctrine of the narrow strait. And it's amazing because many a time, if you dig deeper to understand why the Lord used the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, then you find that many aspects of his narrative now come out, which are so key. For example, you have heard straight, because I mentioned a little bit of difficulty. For example, if a big ship reaches a strait of so-and-so, you see them now waiting until they are told the other ship has gone. Please, you can now come, and you have to obey the rules, walk slowly, rather sail slowly, because it's narrow, it's not wide. You don't have much room for manipulating and maneuvering, so you have to obey the rules of the strait. And then I said that was a little projection of the difficulties about the strait, about the route for those on the other side, about the route. And the Lord then uses the word straight deliberately to the church, intentionally to the church to deliver, that he may dispense forth, he may project to you a certain important aspect of the Christian walk. How beloved of the Lord, how blessed that he can open this to us. And we see sometimes, for example, in the deliberate use of the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, you see that sometimes people say, oh, that child, those children are in dire straits, and yet their parents are doing nothing to help them or to mitigate their situation, remedy them. So again, straight is now used to describe difficult moments, difficulty, beloved people. In that context then, again he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And now we are seeing that the word straight has frequently used with prophylaxis, if you wish, has been used with a lot. take this situation to coin some difficult situations, beloved people. And then now you understand what the Lord intended when he addressed the church. He addressed himself exclusively to the believers. And he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now we see that many times you hear the dire straits. That family is in dire straits, and yet the current economic situation is not doing anything better to help them. It's not doing anything to put their situation better. Dire straits. It means to be in a bad situation. It means to be in a bleak situation. If you just go to an open dictionary, anybody can go there. It means to be in a grim situation, beloved people. To be in a difficult situation. Like I said, for example, those kids are in dire straits and their parents are doing little or doing nothing to remedy their situation, beloved people. So you see now, we are beginning to understand the narrative of Jesus when he addressed himself directly unto the church. And he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. He wanted to bring forth some very important information, beloved people. In other words, he said, narrow is the way, which we are going to see right ahead of us here. Then he was already talking about some kind of duty that being born again would be levied on you. Some kind of responsibility, some kind of self-denial that will come your way when you accept the gospel and the salvation he brings. And you see clearly, he talks about the wide gate in contrast and the broad way, and I'm going to open it up a little deeper today, which essentially you can see the Lord was talking about the narrow gate to bring forth. He was talking about eternity, the eternal kingdom of God, and then leading to heaven, beloved people, to eternity, a life of felicity, if you so will, in heaven. Because you know the Bible says in Matthew 25 that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of eternity, the kingdom of heaven is like a non-stop eternal banquet. In Matthew 25, 1 to 13, beloved people, you know that. So you can see that when he said, narrow is the gate, narrow is the, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate, because he said, narrow is the road, the way that leads to life, eternal life. He meant it is going to be narrow, and you are going to be required of. It's going to impose some duties, put some tasks on you as a believer. You are going to have to make an effort of self-denial to walk through that way. I've given the example of a big ship that is passing through one strait, and we saw that a strait is a channel that connects one part to another. And right now we are talking about connecting the church on the earth, from the earth, into the glorious kingdom of heaven. And the other, the wide road, that as we start in our preamble today, you can take that to represent the excesses of sin, the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin and wickedness and evil that you see in this world. You can right away begin to develop the concept, to understand the concept that the Lord laid down in this thesis when he spoke to the church. And then you might ask questions. You might ask, then how about when he says, come unto me, Matthew 11:29, light is my yoke. I'll come to you, beloved people, on that, if we get time, because that is when transformation has taken place. How about the commandment too? To obey the commandment that you see in John 5:3. And so forth. I'll come to you, but let me pursue this straight. Say, therefore, the Lord Jesus used these words, beloved people. He used the word straight to imply the following. Straight also means reliable, beloved people. How powerful to know that he was directing the church to a reliable route. He was saying, if you follow this route, you for sure will enter heaven where I'm going. Very much so in John chapter 14, which was not any of the scriptures we intended to read, but I'll read it by the way. John chapter 14, we have read it when I've taught on the rapture of the church, the coming of the Messiah. John 14, 1 to 3 says, Do not let, I'm reading NIV now, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will be back. He says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to where I am going. How powerful, how awesome a scripture, beloved. He's saying, in my ministry on the earth here, I have already shown you the way that leads to eternity, the way that leads to the kingdom of God. And in this thesis, he's addressing himself to the church and showing her the way. So he's using the word straight. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And he says the word straight refers to reliable, the reliable gate, the reliable route that he's very sure will deliver you to eternity in heaven, beloved. How powerful.